Now, I think we have Mr. Moynihan on the phone at the moment. Hello, Sean.
Are you on? Good afternoon. The phone. Hello.
Mm-hmm. I am indeed. How are you?
And we just got a couple of emails in from you, so a bit with regard to the cold weather. One came in on the 11th, and the Alone expresses concern for older people in need during extreme weather conditions. And the weather conditions look like they're going to deteriorate again next week, according to the forecast.
Yeah, I think what we're just trying to express to older people themselves is that the weather and the cold, that people, when it does hit, and thank God, hopefully we only got a short snap last week, is that people realise, that older people themselves realise they must put a priority on heating in cold snaps. That ultimately is for respiratory problems, and I'm not a clinician or a doctor, but ultimately is from the evidence and what we've learned over the years is that older people, it's after the cold snaps, people can get a lot of infections, pneumonias, all this, and this can really play havoc with people's health. So ultimately, people have to prioritise their heating and prioritise their spending to make sure that they keep well at this time.
And we were always advising people, if they can't heat the whole house, at least heat one room and try and stay in that room as often as you can. Of course, the person has to go to the kitchen, etc.
Plenty of layers. Make sure to have a hot meal every day. Try, even if you can't get out, try and keep mobile and keep moving to keep your circulation going. And I think the rest of us don't always realise that if for you, maybe you've had a bad year with your health, or you haven't aren't as mobile, or if the snow hits or ice hits and you can't get out, how expensive it can be. People call these things fuel poverty. In a lot of cases, people just call it, you know, being short of money. The point of it is how expensive it is. We all know if you're lucky enough to have a job and you took a week off and you were at home for a week, you'd really see it in the next bill. But older people sometimes have to face that bill every month throughout the winter. So really, whereas people may have concerns about the finances of these things, when cold hits, people just need to make sure that they're warm, make sure that they're keeping well, because ultimately it's really important for their health.
Yeah, and hypothermia can strike a person, and they might not even know it. They think they're well enough, but they, and of course, all the majority, 30% of the heat goes out to the top of your head. And even wearing a skull cap, it'll be of great benefit, or any type of cap.
Well, that's it. I think it's just if a bad weather hits, older people to prioritise their heat. And if they do need support, stay linked in to their family, friends, neighbours, or to reach out to an organisation like us, just to make sure that everybody wants to support people and make sure that they feel safe and secure.
Yeah, and if you have an elderly neighbour, senior citizen, next door to you, we would always advise neighbours to just knock at the door and say, do you want anything down at the shop? And are you okay, etc., etc. Just a nice soft touch to find out how they are as such.
Exactly. I think that's I think that's really important, because ultimately is you know, five minutes, 10 minutes, a check-in with somebody can mean an awful lot to somebody. And ultimately is, you know, we all get benefit in the community by doing these things. And we all know there's less people in our community than there once was. So really, we have to stay linked in. We have to keep older people. And we've an awful lot more older people than we once did. And lots of them are very active and participate. But ultimately, we need to support those that maybe are going through tough times, or whose life hasn't quite turned out the way they hoped or expected.
Now, I see you've been awarded a Think Tech. You've got funding for an online platform and supporting older people.
Well, yeah, I suppose when we talk about technology, a lot of people think, think as if older people, you know what I mean, aren't engaged or don't care about things like that. But ironically, maybe the age group that uses technology the least, not because they're not capable, but because the technology didn't exist maybe when they were growing up or through middle age, is we figure what we can do is via our volunteers, via our staff, is use technology to drive interaction with older people and to help older people stay control of their lives and to stay at home and improve their quality of health and quality of life at home while empowering the older people. So the technology is about empowering older people. The technology is about helping people make decisions and helping older people stay linked in.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the computer thing can be a great thing, and such you can order your supplies or your groceries online now, and all sorts of things you can keep in touch with people. And Skype now can be a real lifesaver for people who can get in contact with relatives. Could be all over the world, anywhere.
That's look what you say there is part of what we're doing. So what we're doing is we have management systems which we're trying to get all the different age charities that we work with all to use the one system of how we work with people, share data and information so people get the best services. And then what we're trying to do is link family, friends, volunteers of older people with the older people's permission to work together. And then on top of that is what we're trying to do is actually engage older people and bring technology to them, because you'd be amazed the amount of older people who have mobile phones now 20 years old people. So what you're doing is trying to use the mobile phone in a new way, because people already have them, and you get people to use smartphones, so all of a sudden older people can take control of their health, their well-being, and communicate when they do need support or when they don't need support, and communicate their wishes to organisations like us, to their families, friends, and ultimately this project will all link into the medical systems so they can communicate with their doctors and everybody can have good information to help older people make good decisions about their health, their well-being, their housing.
And, of course, tablets are now one of the things the kids are using madly. But it's a platform that quite a lot of people could bring just around in their pocket, such as a handbag or whatever, and they can use it at any time. But quite a lot of people don't know how to use these devices as such, but you're putting together a sort of a platform where people can obtain information with regard to how to use these.
Absolutely. And then that information to be used so for older people to make decisions about what they want, and also to be shared to help other people provide the best services they can to older people, so older people can remain at home for as long as they want in safety, security and quality of life.
Yeah, well, the sort of a think tank network as such, and of course, quite apart from...
That's what it is, linking everybody together.
Yes, and of course, apart from emergencies and shopping and that, nostalgia is a great motivator for people to talk to one another. It could be about a football match 50 years ago or so, anything. Any social event or a wedding, do you remember, et cetera, et cetera. And this can be interlinked, and you can get advice, and you can get all sorts of bits and pieces and some of a gossip, maybe, on these devices. And that in itself keeps you sort of active, your brain active anyway.
Exactly. It is. But what we're going to do is take it a step further and have a situation where what we can do is help people to control and monitor their own health and the environment and their house, and then they can share that information with whoever they want. So people know that they're well. People, maybe family members are concerned, know that they're up, they're well. Also, on the other hand, is so they can communicate with people their needs or their support needs. So what it is to bring it to the next stage of where people are monitoring their own health and also sharing that information and monitoring their environment, whether that's the heat, whether that's the ability in motion, or whether the ability to get up, or whether where they actually fill out small questions every morning and then check their own health, and then it can be mapped over time. So it's moving on and using technology to help older people and support that, and using what is now possible that wasn't available a couple of years ago now to help people stay in their own homes.
Now, to put this platform into practice, are you going to bring people in to classes, or are you going to just try and contact them at home as such?
Well, the plan at the moment is that we're linking all of these things together. And what we're doing at the moment is we're in trial phase. So what happens now is we'll have selected older people who are going to use it. We'll test it all out. And then what we'll do from then what will happen is we will start making it more widely available. And part of the process we're working is how can we make this more widely available, not just from alone, but so families, friends, everybody can access this type of technology so that older people can access it, even without coming to alone. So we're in test at the moment, and then from there, the Department of Environment and Google are helping us get it right, and from there we hope to make it something that's available to everybody.
Yeah, you'll be networking, in other words.
Exactly.
Yeah, and now, like Google and all these companies and such, you've got an award for it, etc., and you got some funding. Maybe you'll tell us about the funding for the online platform. Google and all these they're throwing the services in for nothing.
Yeah, that's what's happening. So basically we got funding from Social Innovation, because what we're doing would also work for people with disabilities, for people that were homeless, because it's all about connectivity and all about sharing of information. So ultimately is what you have a situation is that people are funding us because they're also hoping that other sectors will follow or will copy, and that older people will be the first people to have these services available, and that others will follow in due course.
Yeah. Now, at the how do you intend to go about it? Are you going to advertise, or I know you can put out emails, but if a person not capable of reading emails or pulling down emails as such,
I think with all of these things, everything we do is to help people age at home. So we provide befriending services for isolation, a thing we call support coordination, which is older people, our friends, family, are referred to us, they're struggling aging at home, or they're struggling with the quality of their life at home. What we do is we coordinate everything to help them. And then the third thing we do is housing with support. So what will happen is we have a network of people we work with. So the first people this will be available to is people who already use our services or people who use new services. And it'll go from there. After that, we will share it with anybody who wants it.
Yeah, it's a bottoms-up approach. Rather than top
that's
down.
It. You build it for that. That's a good way of describing it. Is that you start getting it used, and then what you hope is these things become popular and they become part of the norm. Which is what happens with phones. It's what happens with a lot of things. When you start off doing stuff like this, and even as I described this to you, it sounds very complicated and this. But when people start using things, all of a sudden it becomes simpler, and people realise that this is for me. Yeah, this will work for me. Yeah, this keeps me in control. And that's where it is. And then things become the norm. But anything that's new is always hard to roll out. It's always a bit more difficult. But once we get through this phase, which will probably take a year or so, we hope that things, the technology like this will become the norm for people.
Yeah, it's step by step, in other words, from the bottom up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Sean, have you any other things going out at the moment? Will take quite a lot of not resources, quite a lot of time as such to put together.
Yeah, it's time and resources. Unfortunately, anything to do with people is time and resources, and that's all is important because we have to get these things right. I think like everybody else, our main focus at this time of year is supporting. We're just out for Christmas, and a lot of that was about combating isolation and loneliness, and we would have been delivering Christmas dinners and supporting people. And now for us, what we're doing at the moment is we're rolling out our services up in the seven counties in the northeast, all north of Dublin, and we're rolling out new befriending services, and we're rolling out our support coordination with them, and working on an awful lot of new housing. So ultimately, we have a huge amount of extra older people, most of whom, people mind themselves, support, or still working or supporting their community. But for those that are in difficulty, that's what we're here for, and ultimately we're responding to the extra numbers to the best of our ability.
Yeah, and of course we know it's something like 2,500 people become senior citizens, that's over 65 every month, and sooner or later we're going to have an imbalance there, a very big imbalance maybe by 2025 or 2030 or so. there'd be nearly as many older people, senior citizens, as there are younger people. And of course, to support social services, it's taken 6 people working at the moment. And somebody was reckoning that by 2025, and I think it's an exaggeration, there'd be only 2. And we would have to be thinking about what we're going to do now for the next 15 or 20 years, but there seems to be no strategy with regard to that. And that's going to put a hell of a lot of pressure on yourself.
Yeah, I think that is. I mean, I think, as you say, the number of people working to the number of people past retirement age is changing rapidly. But I think that's going to drive, I mean, as you talk about the crisis, you know, in our health services, and people talk about these things, it's all actually been driven by the changing in demographics. Lots of which it's a positive story. People are living longer. People are healthier for longer. But what that means is we've a change in our transport needs, we've a change in our communications needs, we've a change in our health services needs, and we've a change, big change in our housing needs for our community. So ultimately is it's a positive news story. People are living longer, but the point is that the outcome of that is the need for change in some major structural strings. So as you say, because of pensions, because of the demographics, we're going to have to change the way we do a lot of things, because we need to make our communities and our society a lot more age-friendly. And remember, if something's age-friendly, it's also probably family-friendly and child-friendly.
Yeah, and of course, the DCU now is an age-friendly university, and we were up there recently, and we are amazed at the amount of senior citizens that are taking up all sorts of, doing all sorts of classes, etc., etc., and with a very, very positive outlook as such. And that is only just one institution that is embracing an older population. It's the first one in the world, believe it or not. And they're trying to set up one in Phoenix, Arizona, on the model that they set up at DCU. So that's at least is one positive step. But other steps now, retrograde steps. So your housing is something you are into big time as such. But your ability to produce a huge amount of housing or units of housing as such is very limited. And maybe you should tell us how many houses you provide and what sort of services with regard to that. And we know that.
Yeah, I think housing is a big issue, and as it is across the whole community. But I think what's not really talked about that much is the housing needs of older people. And long term, we're going to need housing choices in our communities for older people. More people are going to age at home, and we're going to need more choices. So for us, at the moment, we think probably we've around 110 houses. We're in the process of building another around 50 at the moment. And that should help things. But the key thing we do in our housing is also provide supports, so that regardless if somebody gets a little bit older or a little bit infirm or literally is facing some challenges, that we actually wrap supports around them so they can stay living at home. Ultimately, you know, we try and create homes for life for people, but it's very sad that 40% of the people that live in our houses come straight from homeless services. And, you know, this rent crisis, you know, has anybody who's renting is maybe older. When the rent goes up, they're maybe on fixed incomes and they just can't afford it. And traditionally, older people lived in the smaller units and the poor units when they were renting. And unfortunately, that pressure is happening again. So ultimately, we're working hard with a lot of agencies, but we're also working hard for ourselves to try and double the amount of housing we have in the next 2-3 years.
Yeah, and of course, housing doesn't come cheap. Units of housing, of course, quite a lot of senior citizens, maybe just one senior citizen as such, and to provide accommodation wouldn't be as hard as providing accommodation for maybe 2 people. And all sorts of plans with regard to accommodations are coming down the line, regulations with regard to it. And it may be some benefit to yourself, and then in some other instances it may not be.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, is, I suppose, to me, is regulation has to go two ways. What you start off with, where you're trying to get people compliance with a basic standard, and then what you want to do is move on into quality systems. So if you take it, it was set up to make sure nursing homes reached a particular standard, right, around fire safety, health care, well-being. We're hoping now, once people accept regulation, you actually then move in to start discussing what's the quality of life of the individuals in these nursing homes, what's the quality of life of people in particular housing situations, rather than just that everything's compliant with health and safety. There's more to life than health and safety. It's how people are living there and how they feel about where they're living and the accommodation they're given as supported staff.
Yeah, a bit of flexibility is what you're saying.
Now, exactly.
I'm afraid we're just going to have to wrap it up now, Sean, and we will be back to you maybe in a month's time to see how things have gone and if we can be of any benefit at all to you with regard to advertising events, etc. Don't hesitate to ring.
Awesome. Thanks very much.
Right. Bye.
Bye-bye.